Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the former chief of staff to Governor Kenny Gwynn, Mike Hillaby, joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Jesse Wadhams and Ty Cobb on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Does your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Mike Hillaby. He is Director of Legislative Affairs at Kenfer Kroll. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks. Good morning.
One of the companies that you represent is Lyft, with Uber, is one of these ride-sharing companies that is into the market. Tell us what's been happening at the County Commission in Clark County, because it seems kind of crazy.
So it's been, unfortunately, a long, bumpy ride. The state law very much limits what local governments can do, provides that all of the regulation of the industry resides with the Nevada Transportation Authority. And local governments are limited to only business licensing, and it must be exactly the same license as generally applicable to any business, and any requirements for drivers are requirements that must be made of every operator of a motor vehicle. A little bit of some intricacies there, because there are some exceptions for airports, and of course the Clark County Commission controls both the airport and the county, so we've been kind of back and forth on what would happen. They yesterday enacted an ordinance that included some pieces that both companies were very much against, some registry of drivers and some other things that we believe under the law very clearly reside under the authority of the NTA and the locals are barred from.
Yeah, and these were essentially raising fees, correct?
They are. So the fees for the two companies themselves would be based on the numbers of drivers that they had. Interestingly, in Lyft's case, that fee is 21 times higher than the highest flat fee any other company in Clark County pays and 50 times higher than airlines pay in the company. So it was very much a money grab. And we knew that, and we're trying to negotiate a way through that. And that's been an unfortunate set of circumstances.
And there's also restrictions in terms of fees for the drivers themselves. And the way that the system works, and, you know, in our trip to D.C. and New York a couple of months ago, we got to use these services extensively. And a lot of people just drive a couple hours a day, maybe in a couple hours a week. They can sign on and sign off anytime they want. So it's not necessarily a huge moneymaker. A lot of people who are retired that we rode with said we do it because we don't want to sit around the house all day.
Exactly. That's the exact profile of the driver that we talked about during the legislature. And it was a difficult fight there. The taxi industry is well entrenched and quite large and has a long history. That was exactly the story we laid out. What Lyft sees is over half of its drivers average less than 10 hours a week, and a significant percentage of those are 5 hours a week or less. So it very much is a part-time. But literally now there are thousands of Nevadans driving for one or both companies. They're making some money for themselves and their families. They go through background checks. The vehicles are inspected, pay state taxes, significant state regulatory fees. We've paid business license fees locally. Lyft has business licenses in Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, the city of Las Vegas, Clark County, airport fees to McCarran, eventually when they're in the airport here in Reno, airport fees to those. So significant money going back into the economy, but it remains a pretty significant battle.
You know, it's interesting. Obviously, the taxi companies over the years have had huge influence. These are huge companies with lots of money, and they've usually gotten their way at the legislature. When Uber came in, and I know more about Uber than I do about Lyft, but they, you know, it's a huge, $40 billion company and looking to grow even further. And they came in and whacked the taxi cab industry over the head and got their way. Are they going to spend the same kind of money to fight what's going on in Clark County at this point?
I suspect that they may. Obviously, I can't speak on Uber's behalf. I think you can look at their track record in places like New York City and others, a big fight with Mayor de Blasio over the summer that they put some significant resources in and made a bit of a red mark on the mayor, left a few scabs. You know, Lyft is, we like to work with people if we can, would like to work through this with policymakers, explain how the industry works, the benefits that it provides, the fees that we do pay, the taxes, the money that goes in, if possible. And unfortunately, if it gets to the point where there's a fight, then there'll be a fight. When you talk about during the legislature, ultimately we're able to pass a bill. It was one of the most rigorous in the country, and it was not without a very significant fight. It was called the most lobbied bill of the session. It wasn't an easy. As you said, the taxi cab industry has been here a long time, and we're used to getting a lot of things done. One of the things that we agreed to do was support any efforts they wanted to make to deregulate part of the industry. In my own personal opinion, having seen this, watched it for a number of years, a lot of the things, the hurdles and regulatory burdens that the taxi industry talks about and some of their drivers were put in place by the industry, and that was specifically done to keep out competition.
Right.
So I think there's some things now that would be fairly easy to do. Some of those have started. The Taxi Cab Authority in Clark County removing geographic restrictions on medallions to allow cabs to operate more freely across the valley.
And let's explain that most of the taxi cabs operate on the strip and to the airport. The outlying areas of Clark County and the city of Las Vegas do not get as good a service.
Sure, that's the complaint we've heard for years. We had legislators during the session ask their constituents to do some testing and sampling and ask if they could get a cab. The reports were it was pretty grim trying to get one outside of what is referred to as the Golden Triangle, the strip, the airport, the convention center. So that's obviously these companies want to serve that area as well, but are also out serving neighborhoods. So you can open the app at any time and see cabs all over the valley, and Lyft and Uber cars, rather. I've used it a number of times in recent weeks in Las Vegas since it's become legal, and talked to drivers who, when they find out what we do, have thanked us if we tell them, ask them where they've been. They're all over town picking people up, talking about the reception they're getting from locals who are now able to have some transportation options they didn't.
Okay, so do you see any indication that the taxi cab industry is waking up to the fact that this is not going to be a winning battle? I'm not saying it's going to be a losing battle. It's not going to be a winning battle, and that they need to adapt. I know they already have their own version of an app that they are utilizing. But where do you see this
going? I think probably two parts to that answer. I don't think they see the battle as a losing battle because they continue to fight at every turn and advocate that local governments and state agencies do things that are clearly illegal under the law and not allowed, and I don't know that that's going to stop. But you talk about the app that they have. It's called Curb, run by Verifone, a company that processes, I think, for about half the cab fleet in Clark County, their credit card processing. So that Curb app is going to look something like, as I understand it, what the transportation network companies or Lyft and Uber do. Don't know how well it works, but they're trying. The industry did go in front of the TA, the Taxi Cab Authority, who controls cabs in Clark County, and ask them to remove the geographic restrictions. So it's a step. As I've said, they're going to need to do better training of their drivers on customer service. They need to make sure that dispatch understands, and they need to tell drivers, if you're dispatched out by this new app, By the radio dispatch to Summerlin or somewhere in Henderson or wherever in the valley to pick someone up, you have to go. You can't just say no and tell customers that after 2 hours you still haven't picked them up, as happened to one legislator this session we heard, never bother to pick them up and get them. You can't do that. So if they work on those customer service things, there'll always be a market and there'll always be people that want to and will take cabs.
And, you know, it was interesting. In both New York and D.C., there were no shortage of cabs, despite the fact that there were plenty of Uber cars all around and Lyft. All right, let's take a break. More on this when we come back.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Hillaby. He is Director of Legislative Affairs at Kempfer Kroll and working on behalf of Lyft. I do have a question for you. And I don't know if this is a question of fairness or commerce or how you look at it. But across the country, in certain cities, you have to have a medallion to be a taxi cab driver. And especially in places like New York and Chicago, these medallions are worth were worth a lot of money. Sometimes $250,000, $500,000, and you know, people would own 30 or 50 medallions as their business, as their inheritance, something to pass on. The value of these are now dissipating. What do you think should, if anything, be done to try to make these folks whole who have invested potentially their life savings in what was a valuable property?
That's a really good question, and I think part of the answer is they need to go talk to the government agencies that decided interfering to this level in the free market was a good idea. And I realize that goes back decades. These decisions are very, very old, and they were often supported, obviously, by the people that held the medallions. The way you keep the medallion value up is to limit the number of medallions. Had the free market been allowed to work all this time, this wouldn't be an issue. It's not to say that I'm not without sympathy for people that made decisions, and you're right, they may have inherited it from somebody and made some decisions, but they also continued to perpetuate that governmental bureaucracy and the limits on the free market that they were enjoying. So that's it's a tough one.
Do you think that we're going to see a change in the protectiveness of the taxicab industry in stopping competition from coming in? Because the way my understanding is that the rules are written, they can basically object to somebody coming in, and that's why there are lots of companies that have tried to break into Nevada over the years and have not been able to.
I think it's one of the things we saw during the legislative session. In one of the hearings, legislators asked some of the cab owners, when was the last time there was a cab company, a new one?
New
cab or limo company. For example, there are, I'm going to get the number, I won't be quite right, 16, 18 some cab companies in Las Vegas on paper. owned by either four or five owners. So right. When was the last time a new owner? And no one could remember. It's been a long time. That may change. There was a bill that would have loosened that up in the last legislative session, and for a variety of reasons, the governor made the decision to veto that. I think there'll still be people looking at that. The opening up of this market from the ride-sharing companies, from Lyft and Uber, has changed things. And again, I think the cabs can compete. I think they will compete. They know their market, but they're going to have to get to learn it a little bit better and work on the service issues. I don't know. It may change how many new people want to get in the cab market as it currently exists. Is that if it becomes more and more deregulated and a little easier to compete, you may see other companies wanting to get into that. But I would say short term, my guess would be probably not.
Let's change topics here. I interviewed Carol Velardo last week for the program, and we were talking about the commerce tax. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the gaming industry, which has been trying to get something like this passed for the past 30 years and finally did so in the last legislative session. But we talked about how the expansion of those companies into all these other areas that are essentially retail operations, that they may get hit harder than they anticipated through their own actions.
They may, but you know, they've been pretty consistent now for many, many years. As you are familiar, very much so with 2003. And that battle the gaming industry very much wanted
and
to
you
see.
Were chief of staff to Kenny Grinwich.
Deputy chief at the yeah. time, but responsible for all the legislative and selling, trying to sell that package. They were very supportive of Dan of trying to broaden the tax base. They know their business very well. They know that sales tax from their operations has outpassed gaming and a lot of the major resort properties. Obviously, if you go through and the fine dining and the retail and the cost of the rooms,
it's $65.35 right. at this point.
So they know that. They know where that's generated, but they clearly wanted to see the base broaden. So when we got into hard times, which happens every cyclically, you don't go to the easy source, which has been them historically and some others, and tinker with those rates. So they wanted to see more people with some skin in the game, as they said, to do that. So I think they knew they were going to also have to pay it.
Do you think that we are likely to see another tax being imposed come next session?
Barring something unforeseen in the courts, and given that the couple of the potential challenges, initiative petitions to the commerce tax and the others have since been withdrawn, I wouldn't think so. If you look historically, I think that's related to one of the debates and the concerns that was raised. Well, if we put this commerce tax rate on the books, it'll be really easy to go back and tinker with the rate. You just change the law. We have this debate about every 12 years, and it nearly kills us, and we get little, if anything, done.
So you don't, I want to wrap this up with you, but you don't think a services tax is going to get enacted?
I can't see it happening 2 years after this last battle.
All right. Listen, would you stick around and join the pundits?
Be happy to.
All right, we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States. Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
It's here, the first gummy multivitamin from Centrum. A complete, tasty way to support your energy, immunity, and metabolism like never before. Centrum Multigummies. See gummies in a whole new light.
If you could see your cough...
It's just a cough.
You'd see how often you cough all day, and so would everyone else. New Robitussin 12 Hours delivers fast, powerful cough relief that lasts up to 12 hours. New Robitussin 12 Hour Cough Relief, because it's never just a cough.
Welcome to Carrington College here in beautiful Reno, Nevada, home of the biggest little city in the world. Let's see what big things are happening here at our campus.
With our medical assisting program, students learn front office procedures as well as back office procedures, like EKGs, injections, and how to do vitals.
Our registered nursing program allows our students to learn a variety of skills, from taking vitals, explaining treatment procedures, prepping patients, helping with patient follow-up, and so much more.
In our simulation lab, students get to practice real-life scenarios and then discuss them in our debriefing rooms. Thank you very much for visiting the Carrington College here in Reno, Nevada, taking a tour of our classrooms and labs. I hope you grab one of your friends and come and see us soon.
Come see for yourself how in as few as 10 months, you can begin a new career in healthcare.
Take the first step and visit our campus. To book your personal tour, visit tourcarrington.com today. Carrington College, the starting point for healthcare careers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Jesse Wadhams joins us. He's of counsel with Fenimore Craig. Mike Hillaby continues on with the program. And Ty Cobb is former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. Pleasure to have you all here. So the news broke yesterday that Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, decided to suspend his 2016 presidential campaign. And I guess the point here is, who knew he was still running?
You beat us to the punchline.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of stole the thunder there. Because, yeah. You know, there's any number of these candidates. I saw a report that talks about, we are still so very fractured in especially the Republican side in terms of where the country wants to go for its presidential candidate that, you know, any number of these guys are just waiting for a stumble at the top, because even if you're polling below 1%, there's that possibility that maybe you can jump in, and we're still so early in this campaign.
Yeah, there's a possibility I could be 160 pounds again, yeah. But it's not likely.
Okay. Is Martin O'Malley the next one to step down, or did he do well enough in the Democratic debate to keep going?
I don't know. When you've got that small a field, maybe you hang on a little longer if you can afford to keep paying some staff here and there and try to get your message out. I don't know what you do when you're in a crowd of 1,000. It just seems sort of silly to keep hammering your head against that wall.
Are you surprised at Jeb Bush? He just seems to be... Okay, go ahead.
He's tanking. He's been unable to get any traction. He doesn't seem to have a message. He went after Marco Rubio, of all people. I think he's wandering. He's lost a lot of support. He's dwindling in the polls. He doesn't look like he can resurrect his campaign.
Marco Rubio's name is mentioned here. There was an interesting piece in the New York Times over the weekend that Marco Rubio will be whoever you want him to be.
Well, I imagine that's kind of true of most politicians, really, in the modern age. But I think, it seems like there's no end of anybody being able to frame how they're going to come out on some issues.
Malleability seems to be a precursor now to doing that. What's fascinating about Rubio is obviously he's very young. I think if he does reasonably well and no major gaffes or stumbles, he's a very viable candidate again in 4 years, a potential vice presidential candidate. I think so far he's setting himself up relatively well. If he appears to be too hollow or too transparent on issues and not really able to stick to anything, he's going to have a problem. But right now, I think he's doing the things he needs to do to keep himself on that national stage for a longer period of time.
He seems to have forgotten that he's a Mormon who grew up in Las Vegas. Whatever happened to that part of his background?
Exactly.
We thought
that he came directly from Cuba on the boat, and survived and prospered.
Forgets being Mo Dennis's cousin. Right?
Exactly. We should call Mo and get the real scoop here. There was also an interesting piece on Sunday from Frank Bruni in the New York Times talking about Ted Cruz and how Ted Cruz has this solid image that he portrays, but when you drill down a little bit, he's as much part of the establishment as anybody.
Well, as the article pointed out, Bruni's column, Harvard grad married into a very successful corporate lawyer, has a number of clients of the establishment, elected as a senator.
And help pick John Roberts to be the head of the Supreme Court.
Yes, and that's all carefully excised from the current bio as the maverick and somebody who's so dead set against the establishment. And if there's anybody whose background represents the quintessential figure from the moderate Republicans, it was Ted Cruz.
Let's talk about what's going on in the court right now as we're taping this show with the sage grouse. Okay, well, you got the first laugh in, so why don't you dive in?
We really have to talk about that.
I think rural Nevada is very concerned.
Yeah. Well, they ought to be. You know, what I find on this, and, you know, Mike, you track this a lot better, but all of this worry to see if we can save this ugly little chicken that runs around the desert. And if we do so by taking so much of the so-called habitat out of practical use, I think that this is really a stretch way too far.
I just want to start with the sage-grouse fans. Let's make sure we give them Ty's number.
Yeah, Ty's apparently not of the environmental community.
I'll sort of espouse the environmental community here. These are part of a pretty fragile ecosystem, so it is an indicator of the health of that ecosystem, and I think it is important. But we do have to figure out how do we balance that. People do live there. It is an important part of our economy. We have enough challenges with federal land, not getting enough, the PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, other things. How do we be sure we can use that, Nevada can support itself without endangering that ecosystem? Because if it does fail, then we don't have ranching. We don't have farming. We don't have other things.
Jesse?
Well, I think it dovetails right on what Mike said. The fact is we are a really small state in terms of the land we actually control and can use and have sort of that dominion over, really. And so when you start pulling back even more acreage for any number of things, I mean, geothermal, sage grouse really like their leks are right near geothermal, it turns out. So I think these are problems. I mean, we've got issues that we have to deal with. We've got to move power. We've got to develop new resources. All of these things require land, and we have so little of it in Nevada that is actually ours that I think is a problem.
And it seems from the quotes that were in this morning's paper from the judge that she wants real proof that there's going to be harm before she interferes.
Well, I think we just...
Brief answer, please.
You know, I have a background in environmental education. I ran a very large institute for 7 years. Was committed to that. But when you couple this with that atrocious decision to create that enormous basin range in the eastern part of the state, whose real purpose is only to stop the trains from going to Yucca, that 700,000 square miles, we've gone too far, Sam.
All right, that's where we've got to leave it. We'll be right back.
Looking for a new career? You should consider a stable career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician.
After I graduated from CCNN, I felt really confident because I started getting all kinds of job offers and all kinds of job interviews, and I felt like I actually had the techniques and I had all the skill from school to actually do the jobs that I was applying for. Well, I feel really good about actually having a career that I can build my life around. I've never had an actual skill that I can actually anchor myself to that can just take me to so many different places. What I like about CCNN is they really help you find in yourself what you can actually succeed in. Well, obviously the best thing that's happened to me since graduation is getting a career.
Start your career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician now by calling CCNN at 775-583-4696. 775-583-4696.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield wants to know, what's your health insurance IQ?
True or false? A lot of people qualify for financial help to lower the cost of their health insurance.
False?
Actually, millions of people have qualified for financial help on their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
A family of four making about $95,000 a year or less may qualify.
You are required by law to have health coverage.
True.
Yep. Most people were required to have health coverage starting in 2014.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield can help you protect your family's health with just one click.
Did you know all their plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more?
Yes, with $0 preventive care.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The deadline is earlier this year, so don't wait. For a free quote, visit us online at apply@anthem.com and find out how much financial help you might qualify for. That's apply@anthem.com.
On the next broadcast, we talk foreign affairs with Ty Cobb. We'll see you then.